Welcome to the online ministry of Faith Christian Fellowship. FCF is a dynamic word and spirit-empowered church where faith and family meet. If you would like more information about our church or other media resources, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
And I want you to go with me tonight to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to start there, and hope you got a good pencil, sharpened pencil tonight, because we're going to go fast. So if you're taking notes, you better put her in overdrive. So 1 Thessalonians, we're going to cover some quick things here. I'm going to talk to you about the practice of Christian meditation. Christian meditation. We don't hear a whole lot of teaching on this, actually. We don't. So I want to talk a little bit about meditating in the Word of God and how that can change your life. Amen. When we talk about, let me not jump to the end here. So go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Are you there? Can I get a good amen? All right. Father, thank you again for the Word today. Thank you for this Wednesday night, the opportunity we have to come and give us ears to hear, eyes to see. Speak to our hearts tonight, God. Speak to His Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the Bible says this in verse 8, or actually verse 13, sorry. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. He said, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. The Apostle Paul says right here, he's writing here, he said, listen, you received this word that I preached. You received it. And I started looking some of these words up today again. And this word receive is an interesting word in the Greek, and it means actually to take and receive by strong personal initiative. It's a very aggressive word. Actually, to take a hold of it, but it was your own initiative. You weren't just actually forced to do it. It was your initiative. That's what he was saying here. He said, listen, you received this word. You personally laid hold of this word. We have to come back to we begin to personally lay hold of the Word of God again. Amen. Listen, what I'm talking about tonight, I'm not talking about you and I just sit and listen to a sermon. I'm talking about you and I coming alongside of the Word of God and receiving the Word of God for yourself. Amen. Because it's got to be more. You guys understand this. I'm talking to the Wednesday night crew. So we know it's got to be more than just listening to a sermon and even reading your Bible. And that's what I want to get. It's not just information, but it's actually grabbing a hold of this word. He said, you received the word of God. Now, that word there is the Greek word logos, and it's the logic of God, the reasoning of God, the thoughts of God. He said, you received the word of God, and this word in you is effectively, this is good, it's effectively working within you. Effectively. Now, what does it mean to be effectively? I start looking at these words up again. Effectively works. It's the Greek word energeo, and we get the word energy from it. Check this out. I'll read it to you. This word effectively works means energy in active operation, to energize or to work. It's an operative power. Whew. Well, we go a long ways on this. There's power in the Word of God. It's like an electric current energizing a wire, bringing it to a shining light bulb. He said, this word is operative in your life. This word has energy with it. This word is working, bringing and taking you. Actually, the word means to actually take you from one place to the next, or to one situation to bring it into another situation, or one stage to the next stage. He said, you received, you paralabano, you received this word, you took it on initiative, and you know what? This word's working in you right now, and it's actually working and effectively working in you. It's bringing its energy and its power, and it's to bring you from one place and take you into another place. God's word is powerful. We have to understand that God's word is powerful. Can I get an amen on that? God's word has power to change our thinking, power to change our actions. It's got the power to do that. It's got the power. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He said, the word of God is living and it's powerful. God's word is powerful. Powerful. That word powerful, it's the same family of words of energizing. God's word is energizing. Energizing. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The word of God, God's word, took us from sinner to saint. That's how powerful it is. Faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. The word has power in it, and it's power there. It's energized, and it's there to take you from one stage to the next. Can I get a good amen on that one? Now, all scripture, again, I'm just laying some foundation to get where I need to go. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. You guys know this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration, that word inspiration, God breathed. Theos neustos, God breathed. God's power. Anytime God breathes, something creative starts to happen. Something powerful begins to happen. So he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. Listen now, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof or rebuke, for correction, for the instruction in righteousness, that the man of God can be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the word of God is there to teach us, correct us, rebuke us, come on, to teach us in righteousness. Why? That we can be fitted, fully fitted and equipped for the good work that he's called us to do. God's word has power to change us. Changing us by the word of God. This is important. Listen, this takes this book from just something I'm just reading to check off the, you know, I'm doing the Bible reading program. I do that every day, right? And we're in Jeremiah and we're slogging through that thing, right? But I'm telling you something, it's more than that. It's God's word working in us, effectively working in us. Look what the Amplified says there in 1 Thessalonians 2. Let's pull that one up. This is the Amplified. We was there a minute ago, but we also especially thank God continues for this, that when you receive the message of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of mere men, but as truly as the word of God, which is effectually at work in you who believe. I love this. Exercising its superhuman power in those that adhere to, trust, and rely in it. God's word brings supernatural power. It has energy to take you from one place to the next. Amen. Now, we know and we understand this, and there's a lot we could say, but God wants us to be complete and mature, right? God is concerned about our maturity. You've heard me say this a lot. God is not so much concerned about delivering you from the problem. He's more concerned about the character that's being developed in your life. Because why? He needs a full expression of the image of God in the earth. We go all the way back to Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image. What happens is that if we stay immature, we can't truly reflect the image of God as what we should. Go with me real quick to Ephesians chapter 4. Let me just lay this one out real quick. Hallelujah. Can I get a good amen? All right. Good to see you, Kath. Gary, good to see you guys. Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. Let's look here in verse 13. Now, we know that God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, right, for the equipping of the saints, work of the ministry. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a what? Now, that word perfect there, we've taught this before. It's the Greek word teleos, right, which means mature. The better translation, I could teach it. I have it all down here because it was just so good to study it out again. But it's a fully integrated person. It's someone that every part, the maturity, is every part is functioning as one, which is what God wants. He comes and saves us in our heart, right? Our spirit. He comes and we renew the mind to what's gone on already as a fact in our hearts. You're made righteous, holy, irreprovable in God's sight, right? The Bible says that. Now I've got to renew my mind to who I am. Sync myself up to my true identity. And once I do that, what happens is I become integrated. Now, if you notice what it says right here, it says to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, a mature man, a complete man, someone functioning according to the intended design. I like that one too. Someone functioning according to their intended design. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I love that. To the stature. The word stature here means like the end stage of a full lifespan. It means complete maturity. And it says that we need to grow and develop that we can to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What are you saying? This is how we're to live. Whole, integrated, a life living like a full-age Christ. Even Jesus grew in wisdom. Luke 2:52, he grew in wisdom and stature and in faith with God and man. I get it. Jesus was the special son. He was. He was the only begotten son. He was sinless. I understood that. But he was still a man and he was developing. Now, I believe he had knowledge of things at times, but he had to develop himself. He grew. Luke 2:52. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That's the Son of God. He grew in wisdom. He grew in stature, which means what? This full age, maturity. The Bible says in Hebrews that he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. Think about that a second. So we're to have the body of Christ, you and I individually, the body of Christ, the church as a whole, is to be operating as the full measure, to express the full maturity of Christ. This is what God is trying to do with us. He's trying to grow us up. Come on, somebody. So, well, how's that going to happen? Well, that's going to happen by us renewing our mind. Romans 12:2, right? You guys know that scripture. Romans 12, verse 2 says this, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. The word renew actually means to renovate, to reconstruct. It means to reestablish something in the like, new, and improved manner. What's God trying to do? He's trying to improve your thinking. He's trying to get you an upgrade in your soul. So many times we operate in the wrong OS. Well, we're trying to operate in the new way with an old OS. Well, you know how when an operating system, right, goes out, you may be able to keep that computer and it may run for some ways, right? But I'm telling you, you start trying to run new stuff on an old operating system, you have all kinds of glitches that start to happen. and stuff won't run like it needs to run. Come on, somebody. So we got to upgrade, right? We got the new OS and gone on in our spirit. Come on, this is good, right? The Spirit of God lives on the inside of us, right? We have divine nature applied. It's His Spirit, right? We have the new operating system. Now I got to get this thing lined up with right here. So say new soft, that operates, that'd be good, right? The new operating system. I need to get this lined up with this. This is going to happen through Christian meditation. Christian meditation. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I just want to keep on moving here real quick, try to get where I need to. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If you want to turn there, it'd be good. We could do that real quick. Don't just depend on that thing up there all the time. Sometimes it's good, but sometimes you got to find this stuff. Verses 1 through 3, Paul says it like this. And again, we have believers, right? And we're believers in this room. And the thing is that many times we're called to be spiritual people, but we're acting carnal. First Corinthians chapter 3 says, "And I, brethren and sistren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people." That word spiritual there is the Greek word pneumatikos, and it actually means animated by the Spirit, walking in step with the Spirit. "I, brethren," he's writing to believers, "could not speak to you as to people that are animated by the Spirit," someone that's born again, living their lives spiritually animated, living from their identity, maturing and thinking with God and His Word. He said, "I couldn't speak to you that way, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." Babes, carnal. Carnal babes. Carnal people are people that are born again, but they're living under the influence of worldly desires rather than being led by the Holy Spirit. Let me just put a little, let's talk about food a second, right? Let's talk, see, people that are pneumatikos or spiritual people, they're marinated. All right? Because you got the marinade on the food for a reason, to get it on the inside, around it, it's just oozing out. But see, carnal people are people that are born again, but they got a little, just a little seasoning of Jesus on them. Jeasoning. Jeasoning. Just a little jeasoning. Maybe I need to come up with a new rub or sprinkle. Something. Make it. Jeasoning. This will do it for you. Miracle food. But it's just someone that's just sprinkled Jesus into their lives a little bit. We don't want to be like that. I don't want to sprinkle Jesus into my life. I need to be marinated. I need to be spiritual. Paul said, "I can't speak to you as spiritual people, people that are living by the impulses of the Spirit." He said, "No, you're carnal, but you're continuing to live under the influences of the flesh." God wants us to grow up. And the primary way God's going to grow us up is through the Word of God, through the renewed mind. Right? We know this. We all understand this. The renewing of the mind comes through the Word of God. It's one of the primary ways. This is why the enemy attacks the Word. He's a thief. Mark 4, talking about that parable of the sower. Remember that one? It says the enemy came. The sower sows the Word. Right? And the enemy comes immediately to steal the Word. Why? Because he knows the power of the Word of God. So if there's, because he knows the power of the Word of God, if somebody can get marinated, if somebody can get their mind renewed, he's got a bad day. He's losing out. He's actually, that person's going to start walking in freedom when he wants them in bondage. Right? Right thinking leads to right believing, which leads to right actions. So, we need the Word of God to save our souls. James chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "Receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls." He's not talking here about salvation experience. He's talking about the mind, the will, and the emotions. He's talking, if you read just two verses up, he says, "And brethren, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Brethren, people that are saved, you've got to receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save, sozo, which is that word, that all-encompassing Word, which means deliverance, protection, healing, all of those words. That's able to save and renew your soul, save your soul. You've got to receive it. What did Paul tell them over in 1 Thessalonians? You receive the word. Now look what it says in the Message Bible. We'll read up. Post this at all the intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger strangle along in the rear. God's righteousness doesn't grow from human anger. So throw all spoiled virtue, listen now, so throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener, God, landscape you with his word. Now, I love that from the Message Bible. Let the word of God landscape you, making a salvation garden for your life. That's good. How many wants to be a salvation garden? Amen? I mean, man, Tommy's had this garden out there. I've heard him talk about how much this thing has produced. But the thing is, that I've received lots from Tommy's garden. Right? The salvation experience is not just for me, it's for others. Amen. But listen, if we're acting like unbelievers and we're carnal, we can't do this. What do people eat from me? Anger, emotionally unstable, anger, jealousy, these type of things, right? Whatever it would be. And we have to watch out. So it's important that you and I, we understand that the Word of God is the thing that's going to change our lives. Now, the Bible says that we have to set our minds. Colossians 3, 1 and 2, it says, if you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not the things of the earth. Set your mind. You've got to set your mind. What do you mean set your mind? Exercise this. To have inner perspective and insight, you've got to exercise this to develop an inner perspective. It's what he's saying. I've got to develop the mind of Christ. I have to set my mind. It is a word that means exercise it. That means you and I are going to have to do something with it. And the way that this happens primarily is through the renewed mind. The power of the Christian life is not from the mind, but it comes through the mind. Let me say that again. The power of the Christian life is not from the mind, it's from the heart. But it comes through the mind. The Christian life flows in the banks of the renewed mind. Let me say that again. The Christian life flows. Your faith will flow through the banks of the renewed mind. The mind has to be renewed. Therefore, the Christian life can be released. You guys know this: spirit, soul, and body. So how do we renew our minds? We renew our minds by meditating the Word of God. This is where we want to make our turn tonight. Meditating in the Word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes forth from the mouth of God, that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Peter says over in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you can grow thereby. So how do I eat God's Word? And how do I drink God's word? That's the question. How do I do that? Through the meditation and the word of God. Meditation. How do you eat and drink the Bible is Christian meditation. Now let's talk. When I'm talking about meditation tonight, Christian meditation, I'm not talking about Eastern religion. I'm not talking about the disengagement of our minds. I'm talking about the engagement of our minds. Christian meditation is a practice where we engage the mind to ponder and to think deeply on something. Stay with me. I'm going to go through this. The word meditation, I'm going to just give you the different definitions from the Hebrew and the Greek. Just going to give them to you. It means to ponder. To ponder. Ponder something is thinking deeply about it. It means to be absorbed, like to ponder, be absorbed in thought, like musing or rolling it over. Contemplation is another word for meditation. Reflection, deep thought. The word actually also means imagination or to imagine. We think the imagination is something that's wrong. No, God gave you an imagination. We need to be seeing ourselves in the Scripture. I got to see myself healed. I got to see myself delivered. I got to see myself in that book. I got to see myself walking in victory. I got to play this over in my mind. The reason that, listen, we are going to the Scripture just to check off the box. When the Bible is saying to you and I need you to meditate on this. I'm not against reading. There's a place for that. But we need to find a Scripture that's speaking to your heart. I'm going to show you this. Speaking to your heart. And you need to use it. To imagine. To see or visualize. It also means to mutter or to utter. To mutter. Mutter means to, in a low, droning voice. Just talking to yourself. See, it's biblical. You can talk to yourself. So meditation is a deep form of thought and imagination. We're thinking and reflecting deeply. Again, Christian meditation is not mystical detachment, but intentional engagement with God's truth. Now, let me write this down. This is another good note. Meditation is not memorization. It can be a part of it, but it's not memorization, because memorization is a part of the mind or the intellect, right? But the Bible, you're more than just your intellect. You're more than just a brain. You're more than just intellect. Your spirit, your soul, there's a heart in you. There's stuff that the Spirit is in there. So it's not memorization. It's not memorization. It's mental and spiritual engagement. God is wanting to write the Word of God on our hearts. Well, I want to take you on a journey here real quick, because I want you to see this. This is powerful. Because God's finger wants to get inside of you and write it on you. So let's roll through a couple scriptures. This is Moses in the Old Testament over here in Exodus 31:18. And this is where Moses went up on the mountain. And then when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, God gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the what? Written with the finger of God. It was like a laser. So here comes Moses, right? I mean, like two big old stone tablets on both sides, written with the finger of God. Let's go here. This, again, just giving you this. We don't have a long time, but Exodus 34. And the Lord said to Moses, now you need to understand here, just listen to what he tells him to do. This is after he went and broke them. Remember, he come down, they were you know, worshiping the golden calf, and he got mad and he broke the law, right? Anytime we get angry, we break the law. Anytime we get angry, right, we break God's commands. He broke them, but then God said, okay, I'm going to do it over again. Thank God for his grace and mercy. If you're in the Bible reading program, thank God for God's grace and mercy. And the Lord said to Moses, I want you now to cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. And I will write on those tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning. He said, I need you to come up. Come up to the mountain. Come up to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. Interesting vocabulary being used. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountains. Let neither flocks nor herds nor herds feed before that mountain. So he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moses rose early in the morning. He went up on the mountain as the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now, we can flip now over, actually go to verse 28 now. This is at the end of that chapter. So he was there with the Lord on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, he neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets, he, God, wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So God took this tablet. He said, all right, he said, I need you to come up, Moses. I need you to cut the tablets. I need you to do some stuff. I need you to present yourself to me. And then when he got there, he wrote again with his finger the commandments. Now, what's the good news for you and I out of all of this? Well, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. Hebrews now, right? God's talking about a new covenant. A new covenant. The old covenant is passed away, and a new covenant has been installed. God says this. Look what he says. Now, let me say something about the old covenant. It was like a contract. There was contracts. There was, you do this, I'll do this. You do this, I'll do this. That's what the law was. You do this, I'll do this. You do this, right? So these were these terms. But God gives us here, look here, and this is the covenant. This is in the covenant. It's what he's getting ready to tell you. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. This is one of the terms of the covenant in the new covenant. What's he going to do? I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds. I will what? It's part of your covenant. That God will actually do something on the inside of you and write his word inside of you. I don't know. That makes me excited. It's a covenant thing. All I need to do is present myself to God, take my tablets, take my heart, the tablets of my heart, present myself to him. Come on, get into the scripture, and the Bible says, the covenant says, he will actually do his part, and he'll take his laser, and he'll write it into you. It's part of the new covenant. This is powerful. Write it, to imprint it, to mark on, to inscribe, engrave. How does he write it? By Christian meditation. How is God going to engrave this stuff on our hearts and on our minds? You know how he's going to do it? Through meditation. All we got to do is present our hearts and our minds to the Lord. And when God writes on your heart, things start to change. You start thinking different, and you start acting different. You know when he's speaking. You'll be reading your Bible, and all of a sudden, if you'll pay attention, the Lord will start talking to you. Because that book's alive. It has a voice. It's the only book you read that the author is actually present when you're there reading it. The only book. He's with you. He starts putting his finger on stuff. Come on, you ever had him put the finger on stuff? You need to change this. I want to do this. I want to increase your faith. All of a sudden, that scripture pops off, and what's he doing? He wants to engrave it. It's part of the covenant. It's coming to you. His spirit's coming to you to engrave it on your heart. And that's where change happens. Can I get a good amen here? Meditation, oh my gosh, I gotta hurry. Meditation is a form of prayer. Meditation is a form of prayer. It may be the highest form of prayer is actually meditation. Look what the scripture says in Psalm 5. Verses 1 and 2. It says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my what? My meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will what? So meditation is hooked in with prayer. Prayer. Now remember now, the definition for meditation, one of the words or the definition is to mutter or to utter something. An utterance. So prayer, right, meditation, and when you're rolling the scripture around, listen, there's a conversation that's already started right here with you. You need, listen, whatever the scripture is that you're meditating on, I'm not telling you need to meditate on three books. I'm saying find a passage or find a scripture and meditate on that thing. Whatever it is, find what you're going through. Ask God, listen, God, speak to my heart about a scripture. And what happens is, as you begin to, you start having a conversation with God. Like, God, I want you to talk to me right now. This is how Nora prays. My Nora prays like, hey, God, this is how she prays. Hey, God. That's how she prays. Hey, God, I love it. But just, hey, God, talk to me about this. How does this apply to my life? How does this work? Like, what are you speaking to me right now? I want to meditate on it. I want to mutter and utter this thing. I want to think about this scripture deeply. I want to let it speak deep into my heart. So the prayer component of meditation, it's speaking in communion with the Lord. It's giving thanks to God for his promises, man. If you could read a promise, thank God for it, man. Thank you, God, for that promise. I was in here today and found a promise of God. Thank you for the promise. Thank you for the promise. So, Christian meditation is not just some discipline, but a relational thing. Christian meditation is having relationship and a verbal thinking and conversing with God in your mind. Come on. You don't have to even be a word. Just you're thinking about it. God, that's scripture right there. I don't understand that, God. Can you help me? You're thinking this stuff. Amen. So, when you pray, Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place. Now, notice where the Father's at. The Father who is in the what? The Father is where? He's in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So in the midst of our busy lives, we got to find the secret place. Now the word secret here means in the hidden sphere or inwardly. Let me give you something. Food for thought. The secret place is actually in here. Jesus said, but when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place. He said, remove all distractions and have a conversation in here. Remember now, Peter talks about the hidden man of the heart. A hidden man of the heart. You and I can have a conversation with the Lord in here. Secret place. Again, communication. Inward communication with the Lord. This is a part of meditation. Asking the Lord, talking to Him, talking to Him about Scripture, rolling this around in you over and over and over and over. This is how God writes it on your heart. This is how the renewing of the mind happens. It's not completing the Bible reading program. Because you can read the Bible reading program and never get 1 ounce of anything. And I'm doing it. And I do it. And I have a systematic way I study and I pray and I read. I have a systematic way I do all this stuff. Okay? I get it. I'm a systematic guy. But listen, you can read your Bible and be checked out. Come on. Well, I'll be the first to me. I'll come back Sunday, right? You can be checked out thinking about all the other stuff. Right? So this is where Christian meditation comes in. Write it down. Get it in your heart, man. Take it with you. Slow down. Get something out of that. Psalm 19, verse 14. Look what it says right here. Psalm 19. Let the words of my mouth and the what? The meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Stay right here. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation, where's it at? It's in here. The meditation of your heart. The secret place. The secret place. I was talking to Carrie the other day. I don't think she would mind me saying that. I was calling and I was encouraging her some. We were talking a little bit. And she said, you know, she was talking to me and she said, yeah, I just can't, I want to find more time to spend time with the Lord. She said, but I've got all these kids running around. I said, I get it, right? I understand. But see, Carrie, this is where it changes, right? Because God knows about your business. But in the business life, I still have my secret place right here. I'm right here. The meditation of my heart be acceptable. The meditation of the secret place. Everyone meditates. Now notice what it says. Let the meditation of my heart be what? So if it can be acceptable, it can also be what? So everybody is thinking. Everybody is meditating. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. All right? Worry is Christian meditation in reverse. It's truth. Why? You think it over and over and over, and you think about all the scenarios to the nth degree, right? Why can't we do that with the Word of God? Right? That we actually take and dive in here and take it out and see myself. I'll see myself as the woman with the issue of blood. I'll see myself as Jesus actually going and being his hands and feet. I'll see myself in Scripture. I'll see my healing. I'll see my deliverance. I see it. I'll play it out. Every single scenario. Why can't we do that? Because the enemy knows the power of the Word of God. He tries to come and get us in anxiety and worry and fear. Christian meditation. Hallelujah. For as a man thinks, so is he, right? For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The word heart there means inner self. As a man thinks in his inner self, in his secret place, so is he. So is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaks. So whatever's conceived in the secret place will manifest on the outside. The Word of God is a seed. A seed, once it's planted, right? It's planted in the ground, you can't see it. What's going on in the secret place will eventually come out. If I'm filling myself up with the wrong stuff, it's going to eventually come out. Out of the abundance of my heart, the mouth speaks. That's why if you get away from the Word for a while, you get away from prayer for a while, you get out of fellowship with the Lord, you get out of fellowship with the believers, I'm telling you, you'll start reverting back to old ways. So Christian meditation is the engagement of my mind to keep my mind set. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Setting your mind. Exercising your mind. Going about your day and just thanking Jesus throughout your day. Like, keep him on your mind. You can do this. You can do it. We can do it. I promise you. When it comes to mind, thank you, Jesus. What happens is when we start actually engaging this and meditating, and it becomes the filter for everything in my life. Now I'm watching the news. I'm like, I don't know what would Jesus say about that. Not what my political party affiliation says. Or whatever. Right? What does Jesus say about that situation that coworker came to me? Right? What happens is it becomes the filter for my life. Christian meditation will do this for us. When we choose to meditate on natural circumstances dominated by negative thoughts, this will come out. Whatever's in our heart will come out. Now, let me hurry through this. Jeremiah 15:16 says this. I love this scripture. Your words, I love this. I so love this scripture. Your words were found. And I what? I found your words. And I ate them. I found them. I went after them. It wasn't a casual approach here. I found them. I searched for them. And I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. I love that scripture, for I'm called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Man, there's effects to the meditation. The Word of God is not just to be read, but ingested. You've heard me talk about, and you've heard talk about here for years, about the word meditation means to chew the cud. That's what it, I mean, really, that's the, like a cow, right? It chews and it swallows it and brings it back up. Chews it and swallows it and brings it back up. It's bringing every bit of that nutrition out of that. That's what meditation is. Revolving it over in your mind, over and over and over and over and over. This is how the renewing of the mind happens. It's not by information. It's by meditation. Ingesting the Word of God. Once he found it, he ate it, and it was metabolizing in his body. It was metabolizing in his life, and there was effects. And it was the joy and the rejoicing of his heart. Now, let's go through this real quick. What's the effects of Christian meditation? It's 8:15. Can you give me a few minutes? Just a few minutes. The effects of Christian meditation. Number one is this: faith and inner strength. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, real quick. This is Moses was dead. Could you imagine Joshua? Here he shows up on the job, and oh my gosh, I mean, the guy that I was following, everybody had done the miracles on, I'm now the guy. He said, only be strong and be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, how's he going to do that? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will make your have good success. So he said, be strong and courageous. That's the first thing. Christian meditation produces faith and inner strength. What do you mean inner strength? Resilience, resolve, courage, vision, direction, hope. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Because faith always explores what the Word reveals. Faith has to have revelation attached to it. And once God's Word is revealed to you, faith is on its heels. And when I'm meditating in the Word of God, listen, if I need healing in my body, I need to meditate in the Word of God. If I need something, a situation, I got to find it in the Word, guys. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Get two or three scriptures and meditate on that. Because what are you doing? You're ingesting. I found your Word and I ate them, and it was a joy and the rejoicing in my heart. I am going to continue to take that in. I don't care, man, until what? It starts to affect my body. It starts to affect my life. And all of a sudden, man, strength starts coming to me. Faith starts arising in my heart. Faith and inner strength. Number two, stability, transformation, and prosperity. I know it's a lot, but stability, transformation, and prosperity. Let me show you this in Psalm chapter 1. I love this. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the what? He's in the Word. His delight is in the Word. And in his word or law, he what? That's a mutter, revolve, all those words, right? He meditates in it day and night, right? Now look what happens. Because he's meditating, he becomes like a what? A tree. That's what? Stability. Stability. He shall be like a tree planted. Planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season. There's the transformation process, the fruit bearing of our lives, right? As I'm meditating in the Word of God, it will actually cause transformation in my life. Romans 12, 1 and 2, right? Verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? It's important. So stability, transformation, look what happens here. It brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. He'll be producing all the time. And whatever he does, what? There's prosperity. We need prosperity. Prosperity is, listen, in everywhere in my life, I'm moving forward. Look what it says here. I love this. Let me read it out of the message, and then we'll move on. But it says, how well God must like you. You don't hang out at Sin Saloon. I love it. You don't slink along Dead End Road, and you don't go to Smart Mouth College. Instead, you thrill to God's Word. You chew on Scripture day and night. You're a tree replanted in Eden. Oh, there's so much we could talk about this one. Bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping a leaf, always in bloom. I like that. Stability, transformation, prosperity. Number three, peace and clarity starts to come when you start meditating in the Word of God. Peace and clarity starts to come. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." Perfect peace and clarity comes. The Bible says all scriptures given by inspiration of God. What's there? It's to bring clarity. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. Right? It's going to bring clarity. Psalm 49, verse 3. "My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding." The meditation of my heart is going to give me understanding. If you are in a place right now that you need answers, you need to find some scripture, right, whatever it is, and ask the Lord. Start talking, muttering it over, looking at it, talking to the Lord about it, because in that will come understanding. The power of the Word of God in our lives. So good, right? Because the Word of God is living, right? The Bible says that. It's living because it has a voice. Notice here in Genesis 3, what happened? Adam sinned, and he said he heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. The voice and the presence of God were connected. God's voice and his presence are always going to be together. When he speaks, his presence. What are you saying this for? Because the most intimate contact you and I have is the Father's voice. One of the ways God speaks to you and I is through this scripture. His presence comes and his finger. God's finger is a type of the Spirit of God, his authority, his power. And his finger will come and his Spirit will write it on your heart. Meditation. Peace and clarity. The next thing is this, emotional control. Emotional control. Psalm 4 verse 4 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still." I like it. Be angry, don't sin. What do you need to do? Meditate within your heart on your bed. Get alone. Get away. Time out. And be still. It brings things under control. And you guys know Philippians 4 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind," right? He says, "Finally, brethren," P4:8 filter, Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are just, whatever things are virtuous, everything that's praiseworthy," he lists some things there. He said, "Meditate on these things." It keeps our emotional, we have emotional control. I'm not letting things get out of hand because I'm meditating in the Word of God. And the last thing is this, it keeps you and others out of trouble. 1 Timothy 4:13 through 15, look what it says here. It says, "Till I come," Paul says, "give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, to teaching. Do not neglect the gifts that's in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the eldership." Verse 15, what's he say to do? Meditate on these things. What? The doctrine, the instruction, the gifts that you got, the calling of God on your life. Meditate on what's in you. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your what? Your progress would be seen by all. Christian meditation will grow you up and it'll start moving you along. And people say, "Man, you're growing. Man, you're really growing." Christian meditation will do this for us. Verse 16, look what it says. I didn't give that to you. No, we'll go to the next one. Should have. Meditate on these things that give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. That's it. 16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, what you've been meditating on. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and others. This is what it means. You will actually deliver, it will deliver you from sin and the consequences of sin. And not only that, you won't be a hypocrite. That's what he says. You'll save yourself, you'll deliver yourself from sin and the consequences of sin, and you'll save others. You'll keep others from the consequences of sin. and deliver them from sin. Why? You're not a hypocrite. Your life will impact people around you. He says it. All because of what? I'm making progress. Christian meditation. It'll keep you out of trouble. It'll keep others out of trouble. Very important. A practice that we don't talk about a whole lot. Christian meditation. We don't talk about it a whole lot. But we need to. So the action step is when you go to the Word, listen for the Lord's voice. Everybody in here can hear God. You're a believer. He's going to speak to you lots of different ways, but this is a medium for him to speak. And when he starts speaking, whatever it is, you're having a problem, you've got a situation going in your life, find the scriptures and meditate on those. Do your reading. Do your Bible reading, praying. Get you information. That's all good. We need to be able to peruse our Bible. We need to know where things are at. We need to know the story of God. That's all good. But inside of your reading, get ready. Because you need to have some meditation. Taking something with you. Rolling it over. Chewing the cud. Over and over and over. You'll renew your mind. And the Bible says if we renew our minds, we'll prove the will of God. We'll prove it. We'll walk it out. Amen? Amen. All right, I'll be quiet. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much again for this day. I ask you, Lord God, today to help us to walk this out. That, Lord, that we would be people, Lord God, that would understand the importance of meditation. We see it from Scripture, God, that we are to meditate in your Word day and night. We're to meditate on the things of God. Lord, let us be dreamers in the kingdom. That, Lord, that we'll dream of our community being changed. And we'll dream, Lord God, and imagine, Lord God, ourselves walking in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That will muse, Lord God, over our gifts and you using us, Lord. We'll find Scripture, God, and we'll meditate on it, God, and we'll get it in us. We'll memorize it, but God, it's not going to just be memorization. God, it'll be in us. It'll be in us. So, God, I thank you for that. So, I bless these people tonight. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to be able to teach them, instruct them. I pray, God, that we'll leave out of here encouraged tonight. We walk out the doors, Father God, today. We walk out, Lord, knowing who we are in you. Our head held high, Father, with no condemnation tonight, knowing that we're sons and daughters of the King, knowing, Jesus, that we are your body, your hands and feet. I pray, Lord God, that we would all grow and develop. We would not be carnal, but we would be spiritual people, and we would set our minds on the things above, not on the things of this earth. So I thank you for it. Thank you for these people. Lord, I pray that you would write on their heart. With your finger. Write it on our heart. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com.